Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Monday, September 5th, 2022. The Kenyan Supreme Court dismissed a petition challenging the election of William Ruto.
We declare the election of the first respondent as president-elect to be valid and Article 143 of the Constitution.
And more people were killed in Sudan's Blue Nile state.
There were 10 dead from Umdafar and 7 from Ganes. So the total up to now is 17.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Kenyans living in South Sudan's capital Juba are expressing mixed views on the ruling of Kenya's Supreme Court, in which former Prime Minister Raila Odinga challenged the election of Deputy President William Ruto during the August 9 presidential election. The 7-judge panel unanimously dismissed the petition on Monday. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
William Ruto won with 50.49% of the votes against his closest opponent, Raila Odinga, who had 48.85% according to the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission in August. Today, the 7-judge panel anonymously held that finding, dismissing Odinga's petition. While announcing the decision, Chief Justice Martha Koome said the petitioners failed to prove their claims that hackers had accessed the electoral body's website and deducted Odinga's votes and added them to Ruto's along with others' irregularities.
This is a unanimous decision of the court, and we make the following orders. One, the presidential election petition number E005 of 2022 has consolidated with the presidential election petition numbers E001, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8 of 2022 are hereby dismissed. As a consequence, we declare the election of the first respondent as president-elect to be valid and Article 143 of the Constitution. This being a matter cutting across the public interest, we order that each party bear their own cost.
Paul Kimani, a Kenyan living in Juba, welcomed the Supreme Court's decision.
Very happy, I'm okay, I'm ready to celebrate with whoever won, and we are ready for our president who will come in, and we continue with life, because whether who or who won, he remains a Kenyan citizen. Secondly, he remains to be a president, and if he serves well, he will serve all of us. If he serves poorly, he's serving all of us, no matter what party we supported.
Kimani says the Kenyan legal system has proved its ability to uphold true democracy and the rule of law, and urge Odinga to accept defeat and move on with life. Julius Mwangi, another Kenyan living in Juba, says the Supreme Court upheld the will of the people of Kenya.
The people voted and they decided on who they wanted to be the president of their country. So I can say we are very happy, and we wish the president-elect good health as he embarks on building the nation.
Douglas Muho, another Kenyan living in Juba, says he was not expecting such a decision from the High Court, but had no choice but to accept.
Of course, it's not what I expected, but again, the ruling has been made, because the decision is not about the individual, but Kenyans. So as the court rules, we have no anything to object but to move on. And moreover, I thank that Kenya, also we can manage our own issues. Whenever we are in problem, we can also make a decision.
William Ruto is expected to be sworn in as president on September 13. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Health officials in Sudan's Blue Nile state say the death toll from the recent intercommunal violence in the area has risen to 17. An eyewitness in Damazin town says 5 people who sustained critical injuries were airlifted to Khartoum this morning for medical care. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Speaking by phone from a Damazin town, women's rights activist Aisha Abdulaziz with the Blue Nile Initiative for Development says 5 of the 23 people who were critically injured on Thursday have been airlifted to Khartoum for further medical attention.
There were 10 dead from Umdafa and 7 from Ganes, so the total up to now is 17. This morning, 5 people with critical conditions were taken by plane to Khartoum.
Renewed intercommunal fighting began in Ganes of Blue Nile on Thursday and quickly spread to other neighboring villages. Authorities declared a curfew in Ganes and Aruseris town Thursday until further notice. The Blue Nile Civil Society Network condemned the renewed clashes and called for calm. They appealed to different ethnic communities in Blue Nile to refrain from violence and seek mutual understanding mechanisms of resolving disputes. The network urged authorities to immediately identify the perpetrators and bring them to justice. Abdulaziz says the renewed clashes have caused more displacement among residents.
If you see on social media, you will see many lorries that are carrying people and their furniture departing Blue Nile. Most houses have been evicted. Some civil servants who brought back their families from the displaced camps are forced to take them back.
In July, the UN reported about 14,000 people have been displaced from a Roseris locality in Blue Nile State following a wave of intercommunal violence that started in Ganes town. Abdulaziz says the number of displaced persons is much higher, but some of the IDPs were not covered during the humanitarian assessment carried out in July.
There were about 22,000 displaced persons in various schools in Blue Nile. Others were sheltering in Kwalwas, and some have been hosted within communities.
The renewed clashes were triggered when school administrations in Blue Nile demanded that the displaced people should leave so they can prepare for the reopening of new academic year this month, according to Abdulaziz. Some of the displaced people say they cannot go home because it is not yet safe for them to return. South Sudan in Focus reached out to the office manager of the Blue Nile State Governor, Hassan Idris, for comment, who said his boss was preparing for a trip to Omdafra to be acquainted with the level of damage in the area and was not able to comment at the moment. Sudan's military leaders, who staged a coup in October last year, have said they want to preserve the country's stability and are working to improve security. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
South Sudan Ministry of General Education says it will focus on training teachers to improve performance of students in science subjects after secondary school certificate exams results showed poor performance by students in science subjects compared to last year. The Minister for General Education says this was largely due to shortage of science teachers. Sheila Pony has more for VOA from Juba.
Officials categorize general science as the worst performed subject. The Minister of General Education and Instruction, Awut Deng Achwil, attributed the drop in performance to a lack of qualified teachers.
We also have shortage of teachers of mathematics in South Sudan, which we have to look into it, how to recruit more teachers who will be able to deliver these services.
More than 32,000 students took the exam in 34 schools. Of that amount, 21,128 were male students, 11,309 were female. Despite improvements in physics and mathematics over the previous year, there was an overall drop in points scored, with the best performing student scoring 2 points less than the one last year. The top candidates in the 2021 exam achieved an average score of 92.2% compared to 97.4% in 2020. Achwil said the Education Ministry will offer training to teachers.
To address these challenges, the ministry will have to embark on offering training of science subjects.
George Kenyi, head teacher of Juba Day Secondary School, says science subjects require adequate time and students need a solid foundation in order to grasp scientific theories and move forward with their studies.
You know, mostly we are teaching theoretical sciences. There is no school around here which is having a laboratory. And even our syllabus are designed such that during the teaching, there are supposed to be activities, lab activities that will always cement down the theoretical parts that are being taught. But these things are not happening.
According to the National Examination Council results for 2021-2022, Jonglei State has 7 students in the top 10. States with the best performing students were Jonglei and Central Equatoria with 76.4 and 74.9%, respectively. Eastern Equatoria State, Lake State, and Unity States are also among the top 5 best performing states. The top 10 students all attended private schools in Jonglei and Central Equatoria State. Young Jacob Gir Young of Juba High School, Bor Branch, had the highest average score in the country at 94.1%. Charles Attack Peter Maiwan from Promise College Secondary School in Western Bahar El Ghazal got the second highest score at 93.9%. William Maker Lueth from Fangak Secondary School in Jonglei State got the third highest score at 93.7%. Bor Madol Bor from Greenbelt Academy in Jonglei was ranked the fourth best student, and Lemi Emmanuel Wani of Juba Seventh-day Adventist Secondary School in Central Equatoria State was ranked the fifth best student. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the United Nations says Somalia is facing acute drought. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What do you do on the weekends?
Over the weekend, I happen to read my books, the novels, and sometimes I go for my leisure time, play pool tables, and watch football because I'm a fan of Arsenal.
Weekends, most of the time I listen to music, I go to the beach, I hang out with my friends. Sometimes I go to the clubs, but most of my time I'm always with my mom.
It is very good. Weekend is something where you can enjoy your life with either your boyfriends, girlfriends, your parents, and colleagues sometime. So it can be in form of swimming, playing footballs, and watching football. I'm a great fan of football.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. United Nations Relief Chief Martin Griffiths has visited Somalia's southwest state, the epicenter of the country's severe drought that has already displaced more than 1 million people. Mohamed Daisani reports from Mogadishu.
In his first visit to Somalia, the most drought-affected country in the Horn of Africa, UN Relief Chief Martin Griffiths said the country needs global support to cope the worst drought in 40 years. In a news conference in Baidoa, the epic center of the drought, after he met with Southwest State President Abdelaziz Hassan Mohamed Laftegren, Griffiths said it is almost unimaginable that Baidoa is sheltering 750,000 displaced people. Somalia's drought, which devastated 90% of the country, has already displaced more than 1 million people, and 7.8 million others need humanitarian assistance. The UN Relief Chief commended the local community in Baidoa for their efforts to help the displaced.
We fear that the worst may yet to come. We fear that we will see exponentially increasing need here. We fear globally that Baidoa and this southwest state is going to need the charity and generosity and priority of the world because of the scale of suffering that we anticipate will come here.
In a brief statement Griffiths posted on Twitter after the visit, he said that he saw babies too weak to carry and mothers who are still children themselves. The silence of the international community is deafening, he wrote. For his part, Southwest State President Laftegren welcomed the visit by the UN delegation. He says they discussed the current issues, such as the drought relief efforts and the way that the drought-affected people can be supported. They also spoke of ways to provide emergency relief in Southwest State. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Somalia Office, said Saturday that food prices have sparked in the country and hunger is rising. It said for the first time since 2017, catastrophic levels of food insecurity have been confirmed, with 213,000 people in famine-like conditions. UNICEF earlier told VOA that drought-related malnutrition has already killed 500 children in Somalia. Somalia last year declared the three-year drought a national emergency. According to the Prime Minister's office, the drought has already killed more than 2 million livestock and affected 28% of the country's total livestock population. Mohamed Daisane for VOA News, Mogadishu, Somalia.
In Ethiopia's Gambela region, in a June attack on the capital by the rebel group Oromo Liberation Army, has risen fears of more civil war spreading in the country. Reporter Henry Wilkins spoke to local officials and analysts about what is behind the violence and what it could mean for Ethiopia's security.
In Gambela City, security has been beefed up since June when rebel groups carried out a surprise attack here that reportedly killed as many as 37 people. Since then, local police have started working with troops sent here by federal government to protect against the rebel groups, the Oromo Liberation Army, OLA, and Gambela Liberation Front, GLF.
The shooting began around 6 a.m. We weren't expecting it, so we weren't well prepared. OLA and the GLF entered the city as far as the regional council building. They entered the city from three directions. I think the Gambella Liberation Front was leading the OLA.
Analysts say it is the first time the Oromo conflict, a decades-old fight between local and federal forces and ethnic Oromo rebels, has reached the Gambella city. Less than a week later, in the Oromia region, around 400 ethnic Amharas were killed by OLA militants. The rapid uptick in violence has some questioning if the conflict in Ethiopia now constitutes a second civil war. Data shows the number of deaths linked to the OLA increased 481% between August of 2021 to July of 2022 to 3,784 deaths, up from 651 deaths during the same period the previous year. Analysts say the increased violence is the result of long-standing grievances related to Oromo self-determination and lack of political representation in Ethiopia's federal system, especially since the current government came to power in 2018. The Oromo are the largest ethnic group in the country. Asked if the conflict is as significant as Ethiopia's headline-grabbing war with Tigrayan rebels in the north of the country, Davison replied, "For now, Gambella is calm, but fewer than 10 kilometres beyond its outskirts, local police say there are regular firefights with the OLA. Local officials are keen to project stability. But one other civil servant who witnessed the fighting says rumours abound that the OLA may return. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Gambella, Ethiopia.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Since the October military takeover in Sudan, the Sudanese people have filled the streets to demand a better future in which they can realize their aspirations for democracy and respect for human rights, noted Ambassador Richard Mills, Deputy U.S. Representative to the United Nations on August 23rd. The United States believes that resolving Sudan's political crisis will require the formation of a civilian-led transitional government that can work to deliver on the promises of the 2019 revolution, declared Ambassador Mills. Unified international efforts are crucial to help facilitate a Sudanese-led dialogue to restore Sudan's democratic transition and civilian rule. We will continue to support the United Nations Integrated Transition Assistance Mission in Sudan, or UNITAMS, in the full implementation of its mandate, including supporting the Juba Peace Agreement, said Ambassador Mills. We continue to be alarmed at the violence in Darfur, he added, which has displaced over 100,000 people. Intercommunal violence threatens social cohesion and diminishes the likelihood of peaceful cohabitation and the sustainability of the peace process. The need for the protection of civilians is urgent, as is security sector reform and the establishment of international monitoring and reporting mechanisms. Ambassador Mills congratulated the Juba Peace Agreement signatories for training and standing up a Darfuri Joint Security Keeping Force. This is a significant step to improve the protection of civilians, he said. The International Criminal Court prosecutor for Sudan noted in a recent report that Sudanese authorities have taken steps to provide assistance to their investigations in Darfur. Ambassador Mills urged such cooperation to continue. As a result of the court's efforts, in April, the United States welcomed the beginning of the trial against Ali Mohammed Ali Abdalrahman, the former Janjaweed commander facing 31 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Over the last several months, many of the witnesses traveled thousands of miles to The Hague to tell of the widespread killings of civilians, pillaging, abuse, and destruction of communities in Darfur. The United States strongly urges Sudanese authorities to continue to cooperate with the International Criminal Court, or ICC, by providing evidence and unimpeded access to key witnesses. Those who are subject to arrest warrants by the ICC must face justice and be transferred to face trial, stressed Ambassador Mills. The United States stands with the Sudanese people in their pursuit of a democratic, human rights respecting, and prosperous Sudan.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That That's all we prepared for you this Monday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. And for world news, go to voanews.com. If you missed this broadcast, go to voanews.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Musa Juma and the song Sudan Mpya. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kelicho kedo matek sana Afrika, acholi koda sande kinupini, shiluku koda madigiti kalukutubi, anyanyalita Joseph Lakobo, generali Joseph Lakobo. Equatorial personalities, Southern region. Daktari Justin Tioma Texana, Masani Kama Tioma Texana, Wakili Peter Tioma Texana, Lukutu Agnes Tioma Texana, Albino Olivia Tioma Texana, Anyango Kedo Malich Sana Africa, Anyanyalita Joseph Lakobo, Generali Joseph Lakobo,
Nebet Joke Nepi Sudani Mamila Mbode Bargasel Personalities Southern Region Joke Nepi Sudani Mamila Mbode Bargasel Personalities Southern Region
William, Yontiomatexana, Mokwe, Jonitiomatexana, Salvae, Kirtiomatexana, Macharotiomatexana, Africa, Anyanyalita Joseph Lako, Generali Joseph Lako.
Joke Nepi Sudani Mamila Mboke Abanai Personalities Southern Region Joke Nepi Sudani Mamila Mboke Abanai Personalities Southern Region
Naivasha, God Tioma Texana, Djibouti, Kenya Tioma Texana, Wingereza, Bush Tioma Texana, Jakara Chonyo Buyacha Kitu Cha Kenya, Malala Liki Koko Apwani Mombasa, Naila Molo Dingana, Kutoka Kenya Kisumu Anyanyalita Joseph Lako Generali Joseph Lako
Joke Nepi Sudani Mamila Mbowe Equatorial Personalities Southern Region Equatorial personalities, Southern.